And I'm Matt.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Podcast 11. How exciting. With this new longer format, I seem to have more bandwidth to actually order my thoughts enough to have a session, as it were, that is actually interesting. Gordon Bennett, let me just start again. Welcome to Hans Island Podcasts, the podcast that is sponsor-free and concentrates on important stuff that Rupert Murdoch skips over. The ownership dispute over Hans Island is one of those things that is important to most people, although they may not realize it at the time. The interesting part is that no one knows enough about it to give a monkey's, or indeed feel confident enough to have an opinion. One that they're willing to voice, anyway. I'm your host, Robert, the Danish guy in Scotland, bravely speaking up about things I only half have the story on, but if I did, the world would be a better place. Kind of thing. Off on a tangent there, sorry. So, what I've been thinking about this week, well, first of all, thanks to the feedback that's trickling through, very much appreciated. I get the feeling that Jesper Rasmussen is a much-liked part of the Hans Island experience, so maybe we should launch out into the next episode, stroke installment, straight away. He's not in Copenhagen this week. For any Gap or Diesel target audience that may have tuned in to this podcast by accident, by the way, Copenhagen is in Belgium, just next to Sri Lanka. You know where they have circus bears? The whole topic of the post to Greenland being handled by a particular post office in Copenhagen has been put on hold this week. Jesper is on an international mission. Here we go.
Jesper Rasmussen, anti-globalization fuckhead.
This is Jesper Rasmussen trying to save the planet here in France. Me and Gert have made a machine that can make a smelly noise when we press a button. We have a remote control with the button on that we can press. The smelly noise comes out of the machine, which we will hide next to global business people to make them remember that we are all responsible for our emissions and for global warming. The machine sounds like this. We are now here at the hotel. Gert has checked. There is a conference here today for companies that help build the big Airbus aeroplane with lots of people in it that uses a lot of fuel. We're going to put the smelly noise machine next to the place where the taxis stop and the people have to get out to go into the hotel conference. We are now waiting for the Airbus conference people to arrive. Gert has found out that the company called Stork Fokker from Holland is going to come to this conference. What a silly name. Hey, I think those people who have just got out of that taxi are talking like they come from Holland. Hey, you! Dutch fucker! Control your emissions! The Geneva Convention says that we can... Run, Gert! Run! We have now said sorry to Mr. Wim Lemmer. He is not a stork fucker man. He's a tourist from Amsterdam. The police have taken us to the airport and we must now fly away from France. The police did not let us take an environmentally friendly train back to Denmark. They have said that we have to fly. I think that the hotel we were at knows the impact of Airbus on the environment, and they will now tell guests and other people about our great anti-global work. Peace and karma. This is Jesper Rasmussen in France at the airport.
Jesper Rasmussen, Anti-globalization fuckhead.
But hey! I thought that was fantastically funny. Last week, I just need to clear up. The MOD is the Ministry of Defence in Britain, and Department of Defence is the equivalent in the United States. Listening to it again, it sounded a bit arrogant of me just to, think that everybody knew what I was talking about. So that's that cleared up. Jesper Rasmussen, what an idiot. Anyway, how funny is Stock Fokker? You know, the people who made aircraft called Fokker, well, they've gone together with this crowd called Stork. I mean, hello? Well, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when they came up with that name. Let's call our company Stork Fokker. Hello? Do you know, do these people even speak English? Well, they do, because they're from Holland, but, I mean, hello, is just dying to be made fun of.
Well, you know, thanks for asking. You know, I can live with the long legs and the huge commute from Africa every year, but life as a stork is pretty scary. There's apparently a Dutch nutter that shags defenseless storks. He's apparently hiding behind some multinational facade. I don't know. I just feel so powerless.
I was searching around on the internet briefly, on the off chance, as you do. Well, checking up on things. That, for example, that the swan is the Danish national bird. I don't know who actually decides who's the national bird or what the national dress and the national pudding and the national car and the national pastime and stuff like that. But there was something about the swan being the Danish national bird. But I also do remember something about the stork being one of the national symbols of Denmark, because apparently there's like one stork in on top of Hans Christian Andersen's house in Odense that comes over from Africa and perches on top of somebody's chimney so they can't have their wood burning stove on during the summer or something, and that kind of has caught the Danish imagination, etc. So digging a little deeper, I actually did find a website that referenced the stork, or the common stork or the white stork or something, as the Danish national bird. So there you go. So being that, you could actually stretch it and say, well, that's also the national bird of Greenland, or representing Greenland anyway, even though that's like the furthest place away from Africa that you can get on the globe. So in some kind of way, the stork and Hans Island are connected. Isn't that weird? So, yes. So one of the, and of course the stork is also connected with that enormous aircraft, the Airbus A380, which is just dying to be made fun of. Because, I mean, you know, the biggest of something, and something as controversial as, you know, people for pleasure burning fossil fuels directly into the stratosphere, you know, it's just screaming out. It's just one of those things that you have to make fun of. So I am going to try and link those things anyway. Looking at the Airbus websites, it is absolutely huge. Not just the aeroplane, but the amount of ingenuity and the amount of companies and people and money that go into actually making this thing is absolutely amazing. I just hope it's worthwhile.
Would all 500 passengers for the Airbus 380 flight please join the immensely long queue for check-in approximately 4 hours before departure time. Thank you.
So when I finally get online again, I'll just have to investigate the National Bird of Canada, you know, just to even things up between Denmark and Canada, you know, with Hans Island in the middle kind of thing, because that's still an open issue, and also, like, the name of this podcast, so I'd better, like, concentrate on it kind of thing. Anyway, what is the National Bird of Canada? Is there one? Is there a national... is it the moose that's the national thing? I have no idea. I mean, it's quite embarrassing. Do you know, I am so clued up on Europe. I'm so clued up on European geography and customs and languages and stuff like that, and feel that I, you know, have earned the right to you know, say ciao and to drink cappuccino and stuff like that. Yet, when it comes from stuff outside of Europe, I have not a Scooby. That's another slang word from Scotland, you know, Scooby-Doo, not a clue kind of thing. Anyway, So, in actual fact, me sitting here, you know, making fun of predominantly North American people that haven't got a clue about anything to do with geography is a bit rich, really, because I don't even know what the national bird of Canada is. You know, I could take cheap shots and stuff like that, but that would just show how ignorant I am. So I'm not even going to try and guess. Is it a flying beaver using maple leaves as wings or something? Ah, that was a cheap shot. So I will have to investigate that. So onwards and upwards now. We've got some stuff to be going on with. Last time I talked about Antonio Meucci, who I could actually have spoken a bit more about because it was frighteningly interesting. This time I actually wanted to mention Hans Kohler, who, quite contrary to the name, was actually connected to Britain. A couple of years ago, the MI5, they had to release their files that, you know, that they had basically after 50 years, or there was some, I don't know, some constitutional thing. So you could get hold of all these files, and as it transpires, just before the war, there was a Navy man who invented some a device that could generate energy. It was a load of magnets and coils and stuff, as you would expect a free energy device to do, because no one knows how that actually works yet. You know, the magnets and electricity is a complete mystery to everybody, apart from electricians and people who write school textbooks. Of course, they think they've got it all sussed out, but in actual fact, no one actually knows how it works. So you would expect it to be a bunch of magnets, etc. But anyway, this Hans Kohler, he invented a device, basically a chopping board with magnets and coils and a few levers and knobs and things bound together. And this thing, you put power into it, and then you got three or four times the amount of power out of it. Which sounds, oh, that's a bit of a novelty, but can you imagine doing this on a grand scale? In theory, because it's over unity, you could power the whole world out of a couple of thousand of these devices hooked up to each other, and then like a 9-volt battery. Interesting stuff. So that's Hans Kohler, and I'll see if I can, because I'm not online just now. I'm doing this podcast from another hotel room, because I'm off traveling again, as usual, and I don't have time during the weekends. So I'm not online, and I've forgotten to download all the files about it, but it's frighteningly interesting. And he's up there with Nathan Stubblefield, etc., and also Nikola Tesla. But isn't that weird? I mean, why would that be classified information if they thought it was a load of dingo's kidneys? Just to quote a bit from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I found on the internet, courtesy of somebody who wrote in about Hans Island. Thank you very much for that link. That just reminded me that those tapes that I had in the downstairs cupboard are getting a bit old and mechanically speaking not working very well, so getting 12 fresh new MPEG files with the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on the original radio series was a fantastic boost. I really enjoyed that. So what is it we are going to be talking about? Well, I'm going to have to find something interesting to talk about here in the last part of this podcast, because it's going on a wee bit.
So in the way that adult jokes about leprosy always end in the words, "Keep the tip." It's just not funny anymore.
I can't just mention geeky stuff and then leave it at that, can I? I really need to link this kind of stuff back to the Hans Island theme, which is stuff that's important to everyone, but no one really knows the whole story about it. Well, Hans Kohler's device is in fact important in a Hans Island kind of way because of the energy thing. I think it's very important. I think that everybody should know stuff about energy, where it comes from, what we use it for, etc., and how we produce it. There's a whole section of the internet and a whole group of people who are dedicating their lives and all their thoughts on creating energy that we can use so we don't have to screw up the planet, basically. And I think it's very important. And all of these things, like hydrogen fuel cells and solar-powered and windmills and stuff, they just get this stigma attached to them, get chucked into the media machine, and it comes out as, oh, it's just alternative lefties that are doing this. And, well, no, there is big business involved, very big business involved, because it's, you know, look at just the energy industry as it is today, based on fossil fuels, etc. That is so much money that you can't even fathom how much it is. People go to war over this stuff. So it is very important. And the flip side of the technology bit is stuff that people just like skip happily over. Oh, it's another wind farm. Oh, isn't that quaint and nice, and that will never work. Kind of thing. Well, it does actually. And Hans Kohler's device, even though it was, he stumbled upon it in the 1930s, which was, I might add, only 10 years after Nikola Tesla did a lot of stuff, which I may get into at a later stage. It is very important, and he managed to create a machine that could create more energy, electrical energy, than you fed into it. Now that's very important, because all you need to do is to scale it up, and then you could power the planet, basically. If you just find one way of doing over unity, that's it. That's the energy problem solved. The energy problem, but of course you open up the whole new problem of the fact that countries that are doing quite well but don't have their own energy resources, like, I don't know, Germany, Japan, for example, theoretically, they will rule the world. And people who produce energy and base their economy on the likes of oil will be very poor, I could imagine. So it is very, very important things that are touched upon. It's not just fun when I say Nikola Tesla and stuff. I feel that it's very important in a Hans Islandy kind of way. So I'm glad I got that off my chest. Anyway, I bought a microphone, finally. It was £4.35 from Asda. Yes, long pause, long sigh there. I was very happy with this purchase until my wife pointed out that I have now spent money on the whole podcast trip that I'm on. So basically, I have now sold out. I have now paid the devil £4.35 for a microphone. So my podcast has no longer been free. I'm trying to justify it with, well, I'll use this microphone for something else. Singing in the bath? Because I need it for Skype? No, I actually did go in and buy it for this podcast. And I think it sounds better, by the way. But not only did I buy a microphone and sell out on the whole podcast, free podcast thing, I also bought it from Mr. and Mrs. Walmart. So there you go. So enough of that. Although it is hard to admit, I think I'm going to have to. I can't even manage to live in my perfect little world just like that, by not going to Asda, buying things locally, and doing internet stuff for free for everybody else's enjoyment, etc. So, you know, slagging other people off for being equally crap is a bit off the mark, I feel. So sorry to all that. I'm shit, basically. I'm shit. I bought a £4.35 microphone from Asda. So I apologize. And I feel so guilty about it, and a bit paranoid about it as well. I bet some other podcaster was standing outside Asda, probably with much more expensive kit, by the way, commenting on that ignorant twat sailing through the checkout with a microphone that he could have bought at a local shop. So I'm going to troll the podcast circuit to see if there's anything on that. Please email me if I've advertently featured on your podcast, kind of thing. You can just see how the whole thing ripples and circles, and we all feed off each other, kind of thing. Very interesting stuff. Why am I talking about all these things that are circling around, and coincidences, and how everything's connected in the universe? Well, that's what I'm feeling just now, talking about this microphone purchase featuring on somebody else's podcast. Oh yeah, back to that whole the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing, where I downloaded 12 nice MPEGs from a website, which was really good. I just forgot how much I just thought that Douglas Adams was absolutely brilliant. I think it's absolutely fantastic, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Actually, what I'll do is that I'll put the link up on the website, and you can all have a listen if you want to. If you still feel like downloading MPEGs and listening to them after you've listened to this Hans Island podcast. So, enough of that. I think this is enough for podcast 11. I've got another Jesper Rasmussen episode coming up, as you can imagine, which is going to be rather exciting. I thought that this one was actually very, very funny indeed. But how many people actually listen to it will will be the proof of the pudding, or the proof of the podcast. That starts with a P as well. Excellent stuff. So enough from me now. This has been Podcast 11. It's been absolutely amazing fun, especially the Jesper Rasmussen thing. And I will talk to everybody again in Podcast 12.
Dette program er lavet med gratis software fra internettet som følger Audacity for soundmixing, Hot Recorder for Skype recording. Tusind tak til Calpomat, fundet via flashkit.com for baggrundslyd. Ja, e-mail er nok, kammerat. Dette podcast indeholder mine meninger alene og repræsenterer ingen organisationer, bevægelser eller ideologi. Hold fast på internettet som et frit medium.
This was made with free software found on the internet as follows: Audacity for sound mixing and Hot Recorder for Skype recording. Thanks and shout out to Calpomat, found via flashkit.com, for the excellent sound loops in the background. This recording contains my views and my opinions and does not represent any organizations, movements or ideologies. Let's keep the internet free.